For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Disturbed by the Truth, as we pick up in Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul said, I'm afraid of you. Or I am fearful, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beg you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. You've not injured me at all. Now, don't be offended with me, Paul is saying. I'm not offended with you. Be as I am. I am not angry. I'm not offended. I love you. But I've got to tell you the truth. And sometimes the truth is painful. So don't be upset with me. Be as I am. For I'm really not upset with you. You've not really injured me. So be as I am. Don't be injured by me or feel injury towards me. For Paul said, you know how that through the infirmity of the flesh or the weakness of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation or trial was in my flesh. And you did not despise me nor reject me, but you received me as an angel of God. You received me even as Christ Jesus. When I came to you, I was weak. I was sick. I had a real problem physically. But yet, you openly accepted and received me like an angel of God or even as Jesus Christ himself. Now, where is then the blessedness which he spake of? When they first received the gospel through Paul, oh, how happy they were, how joyful as their lives were transformed by the power of the Spirit. Now these men have come in and brought in these perverse teachings, brought them into a ritualistic relationship, have gone back to some of the weak and the beggarly elements, tried to put them under a regimen and a routine and a ritual relationship with God rather than a living relationship with God. Paul said, I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So this is no doubt a hint towards what Paul's weakness in his flesh was. An eye problem. Now, in those days, they had some oriental diseases affecting the eyes, causing a constant kind of a pink eye condition, the running, sort of a conjunctivitis of which they had no cure. And so it would affect the eyesight. It was repulsive to look at. And some believe that this is what Paul had. And yet, Paul says, you know, you receive me. You love me so much that some of you would have been glad to have given your eyes to me. But am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, some people make it hard to really be honest and truthful with them because of the way they react. Some people rebel against the truth. Some people don't want to hear the truth. I'm comfortable the way I am. Don't bother me with facts. My mind is made up. You know, I don't want the truth. Tell me how well I am. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how nice I am. Don't tell me the truth. I don't want to hear the truth. And so there are those that are bound within a certain system in relating to God. This is the way my fathers did it. This is the way my grandparents did it. Don't bother me with the truth. I'm happy here. I'm satisfied here. I don't have to do much. Just sit and watch. And people are disturbed by the truth. And Paul said, have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth? Now, they zealously affect you. And many of these persons are extremely zealous in their presentations. But it is not good. Yes, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. So these guys are there, they zealously affect you, but actually they would exclude you from God for that you might affect them, that you might support them and all. So Paul said, my little children, term of great endearment, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So Paul's response is travailing prayer. Oh, my little children, for whom I travail in birth till Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I really stand in doubt of you. Now, writing is many times difficult because you don't hear the tonal inflections. And many times it's the way something was said that causes you to interpret what is being said. And this is the unfortunate part of the scripture, because I think that many times we misinterpret the scriptures because we read into it a tonal inflection which may not necessarily be there. For instance, when God came to Adam in the Garden of Eden after Adam had disobeyed, and God said, Adam, where art thou? What was the tone of voice? Now, I'm certain that many times we think it was the tone of voice of an arresting officer ready to haul you off to jail. Adam, where art thou? Yeah, you know. But I really believe that that was, if you heard the tone of voice, the sob of a heartbroken father whose child had just messed up. Adam, where art thou? Oh, Adam, what have you done? And I don't hear judgment and thunder ringing in the voice of God. I hear heartbreak in the voice of God. So many times I think we imagine God thundering on us in heavy judgment, when in reality his heart is broken over our failure and his desire is to restore us. My little children, for whom I travail until Christ be formed in you. Oh, how I wish I were there to change my tone of voice so you could hear my tone of voice. Because I really stand now in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you really understand what you're doing? You that want a legal relationship to God, do you really understand what this entails? Do you really know what this means? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. One was by the bondmaid. The other was by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by the promise of God. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants that God has made, one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, that is the flesh. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, that is all of the temple and the law and all of the ritual in the relationship to God through the law and through the temple, the Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage to her children. But Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem which is from above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate has many more children than she which hath a husband. Now this is quoting from Isaiah 54. And it is a scripture that relates to Israel when God restores upon Israel the national favor and blessing again. And as they then look back, they will see that God has brought forth many more children from the Gentile nations than from Israel. The weeping, the chagrin that will come to them when they realize that they have rejected God's Messiah. And they see how that from among the Gentiles, God has brought forth these millions to believe. And so the barren has brought forth more children than she which had a husband, the nation of Israel. And so those that are of the promise, those that are of the Spirit, contrasted to those that are of the flesh. Paul uses the allegory of the line of the flesh, Hagar. That was a fleshly expediency by Sarah and Abraham in attempting to help God out. And when Ishmael was about 13 years old, Abraham was sitting in the tent, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham said, Lord, let Ishmael live before you forever. In other words, hey, don't put me on anymore. God, I'm satisfied. I've got Ishmael, you know. Given up with Sarah. Let Ishmael live. And God said, no, through Sarah shall thy seed be called. The son of promise. One was the son of the flesh. The other was the son of promise. The two covenants. The law relates to the flesh. But the covenant of promise, that is of Jesus Christ, relates to the Spirit. And thus, in our relating to God, we must either relate to God through the law or through the Spirit. Through the works of the law or through the Spirit. But by the works of the law, it is evident no one can be justified. So that leaves us really, a true relationship with God can only be wrought by the Spirit and your faith in Jesus Christ. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. I've been adopted as a son of God, redeemed by Jesus Christ, and I have become the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. And so Ishmael was vexing Isaac in time to come, making fun of him, mocking this little kid. And so Sarah was upset at the way Ishmael was treating Isaac. And Sarah said, get rid of that bondwoman. I can't take it anymore. And Abraham was hurt over this because he loved Ishmael. He was his son. But the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, listen to your wife, Sarah. And so Abraham put out the bondwoman and her son. Nevertheless, what says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The bondwoman, referring to the law, to Mount Sinai, could not bring man into the blessings of God. All it could bring man was the curse. It is interesting. You remember when the children of Israel came into the promised land under Joshua, and they came to the area of Shechem. Representatives of six tribes were to be on Mount Gerizim, and representatives of six tribes were to be upon Mount Ebal. Now, those that were on Mount Ebal, the Mount of Blessing didn't say anything, because the law cannot bring a blessing. But those that were upon Mount Gerizim, 12 times said, "Cursed be the man." And they would call this down, and it would echo down into the valley of Shechem where all of the people were. Because the law could only bring a curse. It could not bring redemption. It could not bring a man into the blessings of God. It is the Spirit through Jesus Christ that brings you into the blessing of God. We're not the children of the bondwoman. We don't relate to God through the law. We do not relate to God through our works or through our righteousness, but we relate to God through the promises of God given to us, which we by faith believe and accept and enter in and receive then the blessings of God. Something the law could not do is bring me into the blessings of God, but my faith in Jesus Christ causes me to abound in the blessings of God. This teaching of Paul to Galatians is important because we all seem to hold on to a concept of reward for good, punishment for bad. And that's life. That's the way we grew up. That's the way we were trained. The enforcement of good behavior by rewards. The punishment of bad behavior. That's all I've known all my life. But that is not how I relate to God. And it's important that when I seek to relate to God, that I dismiss this concept by which I was trained. And that I relate to God through faith, believing the promises of God that He loves me and wants to bless me. And believing God to bless me, even though I know that I have failed. I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm not worthy. I know my works don't measure up to it. But to receive by grace the blessings of God through the promises. I'm a child of the free woman, a child of promise. And since discovering that, I have never ceased to receive the blessings of God in an ever-increasing measure. This past week, I met a young man who was here at Calvary Chapel when we first started. Through some tragic experiences, turned away from God, was bitter against God, and for years would have nothing to do with Jesus Christ or with God. He was bitter. I had a funeral this past week for his grandmother. He was there. He came up and put his arm around me, hugged me, told me how glad he was to see me, and how he had recommitted his life completely to Jesus Christ. And he said, "You know what it was?" He said, "God just kept blessing me." He said, "Every way I turned, I was blessed of God. He just kept blessing me so much, I couldn't handle it. I finally just said, 'God, I give up. I can't handle it. Your blessings are so marvelous.'" He said, "I kept waiting for the axe to fall. I kept waiting for God to really, wipe me out." But he said he never did. He just kept blessing me, and I couldn't handle the goodness of God. So I just dedicated my life to him again. I said, the scripture says, don't you realize it's the goodness of God that brings a man to repentance? Oh, God is good. We're children of the promise. And God wants to bless you. Why don't you let him? Just believe him to bless you. Trust him to bless you.
Get ready to journey through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation with one of the most trusted Bible teachers of our time, Pastor Chuck Smith. Digitally remastered T2000 series, topical Bible teachings recorded Sunday mornings live at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa between 1979 and 1985. These timeless messages are now available in a convenient portable format. The T2000 series includes 271 MP3 audio files stored on an easy-to-use 8GB reusable flash drive. Learning from Pastor Chuck is simple. Just insert the flash drive into your computer, transfer the files, and you're ready to listen anywhere. Upload the teachings to your phone or smart device and take Pastor Chuck's clear, powerful Bible teaching with you on the road, at home, or wherever God leads you. And yes, the flash drive is completely reusable for your personal storage needs. Order your T2000 flash drive today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. The T2000 series, timeless truth, powerful teaching, ready when you are. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
You know, I wouldn't dare to say these things unless the scripture did. Because it's not really, you know, according to my conceptual thinking. This isn't the way I respond. I respond, you know, in the old ways to people. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. Good to me, I'll be good to you. Get nasty with me, I'll get nasty with you. It's hard to handle God and the grace of God, his goodness to me, though I have failed, though I don't deserve it. But because the scripture teaches it, I dare not depart. I dare not declare anything else. I must declare to you what God has declared to be true of your relationship with him. And of his desired relationship with you. He doesn't want a legal relationship. He wants a loving relationship. He wants you to love him and to know how much he loves you. And he wants you to come to him on that basis of love, his love for you. And when you learn to come to that loving relationship with God, your life will be blessed. So blessed. Because you're not now limiting the blessings to your works of righteousness. You're not keeping back the blessings because of your lack of works of righteousness. But you're being blessed on the basis of God's promise and God's work for you in Jesus Christ, which never ceases. Father, let this be the turning point of our lives tonight. Impress your truth upon our hearts in Jesus' name. God bless you.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Galatians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Galatians 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.